Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff, only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, some of that stuff wasn't junk? Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Hello, everybody. It is great to be with you again. It is my favorite time of the week, Thursdays at 3 Eastern time. I am thrilled to have a good friend of mine named Leslie Sandler on the phone with us, who is a real pro in the world of jewelry. And we have taken her a number of things over the years where she has purchased various jewelry items from us that we got from a hauling job. And then we take some of that money and give it to our customers. And we are very grateful for people like Leslie who do this kind of thing. And she does it really well. Leslie, can you hear me okay right now?
Yes, Alan, I hear you perfectly.
Wonderful. We are thrilled to have you on the show. And I was thinking, I've known you for a number of years, but I wanted to just start off, and I know you've got some customers coming in about 45 minutes to meet with you, so we're going to jump right in and talk about what you do. Will you just tell everybody how you got involved in the jewelry business?
Well, I come from a family of antique dealers and collectors, and our personal collection was always antique and estate jewelry. So when I was looking to start my own business a couple decades ago, I wanted to make a hobby of antique and estate jewelry into a way to make a living, into a career. And so I started doing antique shows up and down the East Coast. And then people came to me and said, I inherited this. It's really ugly. Do you want to buy it? And then I started buying and selling and redesigning and providing all those services.
Do you still do much in the antiquing area? You may do a lot for all I know.
I do a lot. So I do a lot of new jewelry and a lot of custom design, and I do a lot of redesign. And the antique area, I work with a lot of estate attorneys. I work with people like yourself who have jewelry and silver, and they don't know what to do with it, and I can help them sort it out. People don't know what's real, what's fake, what's this, what's that, and they don't want to give a buried treasure to charity without knowing what they got.
You know, the deepest that I've been jumped in to be a quasi-jeweler, which I'm not, but the thing that I have a little bit of fun with, it's just looking at, you know, various rings that I'll get or various pieces of jewelry through a magnifying glass, just to look and see if the little letter K is on there anywhere and see if it's got any gold, you know, to it, etc. What are some of the ways that you use to just to figure out what's valuable and what's not? Would you give any pointers just to educate us a little bit on what it's like to try to find the really valuable stuff?
Right. Well, as you said, when you use the magnifying glass, or what we call in the jewelry industry a loupe, which is a 10-power magnifying glass, the easy low-hanging fruit are things that are marked 10 carat, 14 carat, 18 carat. 925, which is sterling. But a lot of times, people might have had a ring sized or wore a ring for many years and the carat marks have disappeared. Or that, you know, they've shortened it or broken, they've disappeared. If it's foreign countries marked differently and have different stamping, techniques. And if something's really old, it would have never been stamped. That was sort of a more modern within the last 120 years that it would have been marked.
Have you ever seen
But I also use, so I use the loop, that's the easiest. But then we also, old school is we have acid to acid test if something is gold. The different carat of gold that we really use an old a slate and acid, which can burn your fingers. And then more modern now, there's like X-ray guns that, you know, that just sort of shoot it and digitally it comes up.
Tell you what it is. I've gone into jewelers that I think use those X-ray guns. I don't really know what you called them, but yeah. They would point it at an item, they would shoot it, and it would basically say this is, you know, 18 karat gold or whatever it says on the display. I thought that was kind of a cool thing, but go ahead.
And it's kind of cool, and those guns, so like if I'm using the old school scratching the ring or the necklace on a piece of slate, that piece of jewelry could be heavily plated and inside it could not be solid gold, where that X-ray gun goes through the whole piece so we're not deceived on, or, you know, so we're not deceived on the value of what's there.
Tell me what role a magnet plays when you, I've had jewelers, I put a handful of jewelry on the counter and they took a magnet out and they ran the magnet over the jewelry to pull out anything that sticks to the magnet, I guess certifying that that's metal and that's not what they're looking for. Is that the idea?
Right. So precious metals, platinum, gold, and silver are not magnetic.
Right.
And so they won't go, but stainless steel and all those metals are magnetic. So we know they don't have precious content in it if it's magnetic. So a magnet's a really fun thing because you can just say, oh, not gold. And that is one of the things we sort with, especially when we're going through big piles.
Do you still go out on the road and do various shows?
No, I stopped doing shows in 1996. It was really fun, but, you know, the market has changed as the internet blew up, and I chose, as my family was young and growing, and being away for a weekend was disruptive, I chose to build my private practice as a jeweler rather than travel around the country and do antique shows waiting for people to come to me.
Smart.
So the private practice has really worked out for me.
What are some of the most sought-after types of jewelry in today's market?
So right now, jewelry fashion goes in and out. Like things that were in style 10 or 15 years ago are not in style now, like clothes, but then what goes around comes around. So very sought after right now is the Edwardian and Art Deco pieces, which are often white filigree with diamonds and they're lacy and, or geometric. That's very desirable right now. Anything that's Art Deco or Edwardian from the antique estate. There's definitely people who love, you know, the 60s and 70s, mod disco trend. And, you know, and then there's people who I think a very underappreciated area right now is Victorian jewelry. These are true antiques. You know, they're from 1870 to, you know, the 1800s, and they're very undervalued. They're just not as desired as that white gold filigree that's Art Deco or Edwardian.
You know,
so even though it's a true antique, people aren't, it's undervalued.
Yes, I understand. One of the reasons I was excited to have you on the show, you've always been really good at helping us do what we do and bringing, you know, we bring you all different kinds of stuff and you take a look at it. This last experience we had with you was so cool that I want to tell you a little bit about it that I don't think I've even told you the first part of this, but when we go in and we clean out homes as a junk removal business, often we will get our hands on some kind of jewelry. And we went down into Northern Virginia, cleaned out a bedroom for a lady who had rented this room out to a friend of hers who had since moved. And the friend collected a lot of costume jewelry and I think bought a lot of stuff off of TV shows and then never really opened it or whatever. So we ended up with a whole bunch of stuff, right? And
right.
Because of where we were, and because there were a couple of gold rings in there, which even I could tell was a, you know, 14-karat gold ring, I stopped off at a reputable jeweler over in, I think, Vienna, and just said, hey, is there anything here that you're interested in buying? And they picked out a few things, and they paid us like $300. Mm-hmm. And then I still got a whole bunch of stuff. And so that's where I think, okay, I'm going to Leslie's. I'll give her all the rest of this stuff. And, you know, in my mind, it's like the secondary stuff, and it's probably a lot of costume jewelry and stuff that may not be worth much. I just didn't know. But you took your time, went through it, and got back to me in a couple of weeks because there was so much to go through and because I was out of town and stuff. You got back to me and said, hey, our offer is $890. And that is, now, isn't that amazing? That is triple what the first people gave me, and they got to go through and pick out, quote, the best stuff, quote, right?
Well, they obviously missed a few good pieces.
Well, they did, and that's why I was, you know, it's always kind of fun. I'll drop some stuff off to you, and I'll think, well, maybe I'll get $50, maybe I'll get $500, I don't know. I was absolutely thrilled when you called me up with
that
offer.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was, because what I did find in there, because I'm unusual when I don't cherry pick. I truly go through every single piece. And, my son also loves doing it with me and he also has a talent. And I mean, my son is an adult man, and he loves doing it as well. So it's something that we share and we go through every single piece. And what's cool is when there's a collection of things, like in this grouping, there was a collection of silver travel spoons, I think. And it gives me the opportunity or gives us the opportunity to learn and become an expert in the market for travel spoons. Like people used to travel and they'd pick up a little silver spoon. And that person had a lot of those. There were also some 14-karat yellow gold chains stuck in there.
Good.
They were hidden in the, and gold has had record prices, so there was definitely some good prices. And the good news about that is those gold chains will be resold. They will not be melted. So they will be recycled and reserved. Yeah.
Does a lot of the stuff that I will take into a jeweler tent, I guess it depends on what it is, but does a lot of it by default kind of get melted down, or is it common practice to shine it up and put it in a display case and try and sell it? Or there's no way for you to know what other people are doing, I guess, but
Well, when I sell something that's been previously loved or previously owned, I tell people that it's previously owned or previously loved because I don't want to mislead people to let them think it's new and I'm just selling it, you know, because it's been previously loved. And I let, because I sell antique and estate jewelry as well as new jewelry, I announce that. There's a lot of jewelers that don't sell previously owned jewelry. They have never gotten into that for it wasn't an interest. You know, I started doing antique and estate and then learned about new. So a lot of them just melt it and recycle it immediately. So for me, I try to sell it, I try to save it, and then, several times a year, we do have to send it to the refiner and be recycled.
do you ever take stuff on consignment, or are you straight up just a buyer of stuff?
Well, instead of consignment, where it just sits there, because I don't have a kind of jewelry store where there's a lot of traffic. I meet by appointment only, as a concierge jeweler. So, but if somebody has something that's unusual, I have a network of different specialists around the country. And if it's something unusual or something that to be said, I can help broker it. And so I will, the people consign to me, as they say, and then we broker it, and then I take a small commission. But it's not going to sit in my case for any period of time. I help find the best place for it, whether it be a watch, because there's watch people, whether it's, you know, the Edwardian jewelry, if it's Victorian jewelry, if it's signed, if it's a big diamond. Even if it's an ugly diamond, there's a market for it somewhere. You just have to get it to the right place.
If somebody wants to learn more about your business, how would they contact you, or what website do they go to?
Well, my tag is Jeweler for Life, because I want to be your jeweler for life, and I provide a lot of services that help. So I have a website, www.jewelerforlife. I'm active on social media. My Instagram is Jeweler for Life, and I think that goes into Threads and everything else. I don't play around with TikTok. I should, but I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, and my website.
Very good.
And you can contact me through any of those venues.
Okay. Now, here's some, you probably, with your experience in antique and the state planning and estate sales and stuff like that. I was in a home in, I think it was Minneapolis, about a year ago, and a lady had passed away. Her sister was now responsible to get this condo cleaned out, and then they're going to put it on the market. The family had come in and had gone through everything and had taken what they wanted, and then they contacted us, and they said, okay, come work your magic and do the rest of this and you know, do your thing. So we did. As I was in the master bedroom getting ready to turn a tall dresser over onto its top, I was going to flip it 180 degrees because the top of the dresser is very smooth, and then I can slide it out of the room on the carpet, right? So as I put my hands under what I thought was the very top edge of the dresser, the top dresser was really a lid, and it opened up. It opened up, and inside was a whole bunch of jewelry.
Oh, it was a jewelry thing.
I'd never seen one before. I literally, and as I started to tip the dresser over, this top lid, the entire top of the dresser, opened up. Wow. And inside are, I don't know what you call it, but rows of, you know, places where you can stick a ring or you can stick different things. It was very shallow. It wasn't very deep at all. But I was stunned because I've, you know, dealt with a lot of dressers in 20 years, but I've never seen one that had jewelry in there. And all of a sudden, here's this jewelry. Some of the jewelry that was in there was pearls. And I went to a local jeweler the next day, and they looked at these pearls, and they told me, you know, how you tell whether it's a real pearl or not, some pearl necklaces. But they led me to believe that there was $800 of pearl stuff amongst this stuff I had found, but they wouldn't buy it.
Yeah, the secondary market for pearls is very, very thin, like non-existent. The value is like in the gold clasps or anything else. So every woman has pearls, and it's a lovely gift to have. But part of the reason that the secondary market's very thin is pearls are very organic. You know, they're in the oyster, and then the oyster secretes that pearlescence around a bead in cultured pearls. Well, hairspray, perfume, wearing them like soap, hand sanitizer, sweat, all of that actually compromises the pearl and the beauty of the pearls. Pearls are not like diamonds where they last for generations. They can, if you keep them in a safe for a long time, they actually can like powder away. So, combination of the market does not support pearls in general. The best thing we can do is redesign them into something that you might wear.
And I learned that lesson when I came. I brought them home with me, took them into a local jeweler down in Bethesda, and he made the point. I said this, person up in Minneapolis looked at these and thought these might be worth hundreds of dollars. And he said, well, that might be what they thought, but you'll notice they didn't buy them. And I went,
Exactly.
Good point. What's the most expensive piece of jewelry that's ever come through your shop? Is that a fair question to ask you?
Well, I've been fortunate. I've gotten people, somebody has a very big diamond, a very big diamond. And then you have four children. Nobody wants the diamond because they'd have to buy out the other two. And so they have to sell it, or the other three. So I dealt with a diamond actually not that long ago from an estate that had an appraisal of $125,000 on it.
Wow.
And
wow.
So just because it had an appraisal doesn't mean that's what people were offering.
Right.
And so they were offered like $30,000 for it. And they're like, oh, no. So obviously their expectation wasn't correct to start with. And then they came to me, and this is when I broker it. I called some of my guys who deal in some of these higher end, more unique diamonds. And believe it or not, as I called, so he said, I just got a call from a jeweler in Oregon who has a call for this exact diamond.
Oh, wow.
And we sent it to Oregon. It sold. And they ended up getting, $55,000 or something. And
awesome.
Everybody just flipped it. And that was good. But that was like it was meant to be. So it was better than 30. It wasn't 120. But, and they did have to invest a little money in it. We had to polish it up. We had to send it to the lab to get an independent lab report. But so that was kind of fun. Certain designers, people have Cartier and, high-end Tiffany and high-end, jewelry. But yeah, that one was a fun one, helping that family broker that diamond where their expectation was that they were going to get way more than they did.
Yeah, but what's great is they got almost twice what they initially thought they were going to get.
Right, exactly. Right? It was so after they thought they were going to get 80 or 90, then they were offered 30.
And
so
then they got 55.
Care about appraisals when people are going to sell stuff. This is better stuff, not the junk stuff that's left behind and then you find it and you're hoping it's collectible. The documentation and an appraisal is a high-end thing. You can expect to get between 10 and 50% of what it's appraised at, 10% if it's just ugly and broken and it's going to be melted, and 50% if it's a lovely designer and style that people want.
That's a good point. Now
you have to be leery of the appraisal because that's not what you're going to be offered.
Gotcha. Okay. I gotcha. You may have answered this already, but I want to make sure people listening to the show and people that will download and listen to the podcast afterwards. You're in the Washington, D.C. area. Can you service people from around the country, or is it mostly local business here in the D.C. area?
For me?
Yeah.
I would say both. I mean, I have a reputation. I regularly send engagement rings and jewelry around the country, and that big family diamond started out in Chicago, and there was a sibling here in D.C., so they tried to sell in Chicago, didn't sell, came to D.C., and then we sold it. And it went to Oregon.
See, that's a good example. That's a really good example.
The world is global. I mean, we sell things all over the country, and people come to me from all over the country because they were recommended to me.
Awesome.
Or they found me on social media.
See, your point about the world is global is
is smack on, in my opinion. I am right now on I-95 headed to Rhode Island to do a job tomorrow and Saturday up in Rhode Island.
Oh, my.
And mm-hmm. I was in North Carolina last week. And, you know, we go all over the country because we get, because of, part of it is because of this service of trying to find value in stuff and taking it to people like you and selling it. And then getting some of that money goes back to the person that hired us. And so it just works out to be a lot of fun. Now, I know you got somebody coming in about 20 minutes or 25 minutes. You got a client coming mm-hmm. in. Is there anything you want to talk about on the show here about what you do or about what you can do for people that we haven't discussed already?
Right. So one thing I recommend for people to do, and to do this before you die, it's a gift to your children, is to try to clean out your stuff. You know, and I know you say that. So, I mean, if you curate it and either you decide you're going to give it to the different people or just get rid of stuff that nobody's worn or used in 20 years, if you got candelabras and silver trays and you don't live that lifestyle, please get rid of it while you can, and you can curate your own collection and then not leave it for other people to do it. There's still stuff, but, you know, people have accumulated so much stuff. They have jewelry that was their grandmother's, their mother's, their great aunt's, from someone's first marriage, second marriage, an old boyfriend. I mean, it's like, we can get rid of this stuff.
Right.
And it's a gift to the people we love.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
And so when you're going to do that, though, you should go with somebody who is going to do a jewelry box review with you and can actually talk about some of the history of it. This ring is from here, that's from that. And then you put together some of the pieces of the puzzle. And then you can say goodbye and walk away and take a vacation or just save it.
Is that jewelry box review? That's a great title. Is that something that you do regularly with people? And do you charge people to do that? Or is that like a free service to just evaluate what they have?
So I do the jewelry box review. I charge hourly for it with a minimum. However, if you choose to do any business with me, you sell me anything, you have a repair, you buy, you know, have, you know, anything, I waive it. It's just for, if you're just going to do time only. And,
right.
The jewelry box review, and the only reason I did this, I used to do it for free, and everybody was like, oh, you can have that, I'm selling that, goodbye. I spent 4 hours with an estate once, and this was my own stupidity, and at the end they said, and I divided all the jewelry, what was going to be equal piles for the children as far as value, and then they said, thank you, and left. So after that, I charge. So that, I mean, your lawyer charges, your dentist charges, everybody charges for your time, so.
Right. That's right. Well, good for you. Good for you. I was just so thrilled with this, with every transaction you've helped us with. And I know sometimes I bring you some stuff and it's just costume jewelry and it's not worth much and you still buy stuff from us at various prices.
Right.
You've always been really good that way. And I just think it's terrific, but my eyes were kind of open this last time when we got three times from you what we got from the jewelers who had the first crack at any of this stuff. And I was just really impressed. Yeah, I'm impressed with how thorough you are with what you do and the way that you do it. That was a great education for me, and it was very rewarding as well.
And the sad news is, so when we talk about what goes in and out of style, 30 years ago, people collected this costume jewelry. They wore it. Women would wear blazers and they would put all these seasonal pins on and necklaces and all of that. And a lot of them were signed and the designers were desirable. And that market has really gone downhill from 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So it, like 30 years ago, that stuff would have been more. But then the gold is worth much more now. So.
How much is gold per ounce right now, about?
Well, it's over 1,800, and in the 90s it was 200.
There you go.
Yeah, you go. Exactly. And silver used to be $5 an ounce, and now it's $30 an ounce. So.
Yeah, I remember the $5 days. Yeah, I remember those days.
Right. It used to be that gold was very cheap and diamonds were expensive, and now the little diamonds are not expensive, but the gold is.
In that house in Minneapolis I told you about, one of the other things I found on a bookshelf, I don't know if it was hidden behind some books or something, I found this little box, this little ring box, and I opened it up, and lo and behold, inside there is what looked like a diamond engagement ring. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it to a jeweler and they looked at it and they said, yeah, we'll give you $100 for it. And I said, that's all? And they said, yeah, those are like a dime a dozen because of the size, the cut, the, and so I thought maybe I'd struck gold with this ring. Right.
Yeah,
but it was the exact opposite. It was very common. It was not a big size. He says, yeah, they're kind of a dime a dozen. We'll give you $100 for it. But that was it. And I went, oh crap. I was hoping for a lot more. But it's just a fascinating world to get your hands on some of this stuff. And I'm frankly a little surprised that we get so much good stuff all the time, even after the family has gone in and officially gone through it and had a chance to take whatever they wanted. And
well,
there's still a lot of good stuff left over.
Right. Well, the families have to get rid of stuff. Kids live all over the country. And they just need to be done. And if you're looking through at doing a house, there's so much stuff. And you know, you've got a kitchen, you got the dining room, you got to deal with everything, the TVs.
Right.
And so the jewelry is small. So some people take it out, put it in a shoebox, and it sits in someone's shoebox for years and years and years.
Right.
And then sometimes, you know, they're like, we'll just take the good stuff and whatever. But, you know, people have stuff everywhere mixed in with everything, as you see. The good stuff's mixed up with the costume.
I have to kind of tap your days in the antique business and the estate sales business. People ask us all the time, you know, what's the coolest thing you found in a house that you cleaned out? And I have, you know, 20 years of stories that I can answer that question with. What about you and your experience? What's some of the coolest stuff that you have come across in your business that you just bounced home with joy because you felt like you just struck gold? And you may have literally done that. I don't know.
Well, struck gold is like relative. It's not, I mean, we all wish it was like Antiques Roadshow where we hit the total home run. But
right.
In this business, we make our money when we buy it, because to sell it, the market's going to be. So I love if I buy something, or in those days, if I bought something for $25 and then I could sell it for $350, I thought, oh my God, I'm a genius. But recently, and then there's the cool and rare factor, like is hitting the home run. So recently, somebody had a whole bunch of silver flatware. I know a lot about sterling silver, silver plate, silver flatware. And they had... Somebody was a real silver person, so they had like sets and sets of silver flatware and plates and all this stuff. And he brought over a bunch of it, and in the cool factor, it's not marked sterling silver. So somebody might think, oh, it's silver plate. Well, sterling silver, that standard didn't come till after the Civil War. Prior to that, there was coin silver, which was coins were about 90% instead of 0.92. And this was a whole set of silver flatware from the 1840s that's from the coin standard. So it's not, so it's very undervalued because people are like, oh, it's not sterling. And from the cool factor, it's 100 and almost 200 years old. It's from pre-Civil War. And it was like a complete set. It was like cool. So
wow.
I feel like we hit a home run. It wasn't worth a lot of money. Did we pay a lot of money? It's like, but it was like cool. And it was
like
so nice to not melt it. And somebody bought that immediately. It flipped in a second. Because it
That's
was
awesome.
Rare and cool.
That's awesome. I want to give you one more shot of just anything else you want to talk about to make sure you have a chance to tell people whatever you'd like to tell them. You might just mention your website again, et cetera, how people can get a hold of you, but I just want to give you a few minutes to kind of wrap up your portion of the show and take it away. Go ahead.
Okay, so my website, my email is leslie@jewelerforlife, and my website is jewelerforlife, and my Instagram is jewelerforlife. But what I really encourage people to do, no matter where they are in the country, is to deal with someone who knows what they're talking about. Just because somebody's nice, it doesn't mean that they're going to treat you correctly. So you need to deal with someone who understands this, deals with it, looks at it, touches it, and knows what to do. And so, you know, deal with an independent jeweler as opposed to a chain. I mean, I'm even thinking many, you know, pawn shops can sometimes be knowledgeable, but they can also be unscrupulous. So I can't recommend that one day or another.
Right.
But it's just, deal with somebody that knows this. Just because they're like your good friend does not mean they're knowledgeable with this junk or unwanted and unloved stuff.
Good point. That's a very good point. This has just been a lot of fun having you on the show. I've done this show, you know, I've done radio for Junk Removal Stuff for 2.5 years or something like that. I've done this with the BBS Radio Network, which these guys are terrific, out of Texas, for about 1.5 years. And this is the first show I've done where I've had a jeweler come on. And I'm thrilled that you were available to do this. And I'm sure talk again about this last experience we had with you and how great you were to work with and how much easier you make it for me, where I can just take a bunch of stuff, give it to a pro, go on with the next job, and know that you are going to take a look at everything I brought you, and all of a sudden I get a text message and I'm rich, you know? It's a great thing.
But you aren't emotionally involved with this stuff. Most people, when they're dealing with their stuff and they're looking to get rid of stuff, there's a sentiment attachment to it. And I am proud that I can be sensitive to that, you know, sensitive to their sentiments and their memories to it. And I try to honor that. Because it's difficult to get rid of stuff.
Well, to get rid of your grandma's, you know, ring is, you almost think of the ring as being a part of your grandma, so to speak, I think. And a lot of we deal with this psychologically with people. And I kind of sometimes think, you know, grandma, bless her heart, is up there in heaven. And if you look at it from her standpoint, she might be looking down going, yeah, that was my ring. It's nice, but you don't need to hold on to it. I hope you can remember me without needing my ring, you know?
Other thing is, like, it's ugly. This is from the 1950s. If Grandma was alive, she also would be redesigning it.
That's great.
She might
saying,
I'm done. I'm going to, like, she'd be thrilled that you were just making progress and not just keeping it in a box.
I think that's correct. I think that's a really good way to look at it. Well, Leslie, you've been terrific. Thanks for your time. I'll let you get on with your appointment in about 12 minutes or so. And thanks for taking the time to be on the show. We'd love to have you back again, and I'm sure I'll be coming to your front door with more stuff soon.
Oh, my gosh. Your buckets are hilarious. I won't even talk about some of the less than awesome stuff that we find in some of those buckets.
You never know what you're going to get, right?
You do not know. That's them. They're here. I will talk to you again soon, Alan.
Thanks again, Leslie. Have a great day. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye. That's Leslie Sandler in North Potomac, Maryland, Washington, D.C. area. A real pro with jewelry and antiques and other stuff that we have used with a lot of success over the years to help us get value for our clients and for ourselves out of stuff that we found in somebody's, you know, master bedroom or whatever. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show on bbsradio.com. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be back in about a minute. We'll talk about some more fun stuff as I am stuck in traffic on I-95 headed north to Rhode Island to clean out a house tomorrow and Saturday. I'm your host, Alan Cook, and you're listening to the Junk Refund Show. We'll be back in about a minute.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook, out in the Washington, D.C. area. I am headed north on the freeway to just outside of Providence, Rhode Island, where I am going up to clean out part of a duplex. A family, a couple of sisters called me. Their dad has passed away. He has a duplex there. One of the other family members is living in the other side of the duplex. And this guy has lots of tools and lots of stuff, and they don't just want it all hauled away and for an expensive price and taken to a dump. So they've called us, and I'm happy to run up there and help them out, which is just a part of what we do. We go all over the country. We've been doing these jobs. We've been from, you know, we're headquartered in Washington, D.C., but we've been from Seattle to Los Angeles, actually to San Diego, from Chicago to San Antonio, and from Boston, from Maine, actually, from Maine to Tampa, to Florida, and all places in between doing what we do. I always like to give a shout-out to Frontier Airlines. I keep trying to get somebody from their company on the show with us. If any of you have a really good contact at Frontier Airlines, let me know, because I'd love to talk to them. I am one of their Go Wild Pass holders. Anybody can do this. You buy the annual pass for $600, and then you fly free for a year. And the caveat is you can only, these are reserved seats. This is not a standby deal. And you have to pay the airport taxes, which amount to about $25 for anywhere you want to fly in the United States. So I can fly from Washington, D.C., and I did this. I flew from Washington, D.C. to Portland, Oregon for $25. Confirmed seat, no standby, just like everybody else on the plane, but I paid a lot less. The trick is you can only book the seats. As a general rule, you only get to book them 24 hours in advance. So you can't go in and plan a trip leaving in 2 weeks and coming back in 3 weeks, because the rates are not available to you until 24 hours in advance. I went around the world when I was 21, and I did it by standby, and so I'm very much accustomed to last-minute decisions to travel someplace. It's kind of in my blood. So this 24-hour thing is no big deal. I'm in charge of our family Christmas party out in Utah a week from Saturday, and I don't have my ticket to go out yet, and I won't buy it until a week from today. It'll probably be available to fly a week from tomorrow on Friday, but I can't buy it at the discounted price. It'll probably be about $25, but I won't be able to buy it until next Thursday. But I've never, in the year and a half that I've done this with Frontier, I've never had a problem with flights. They all tend to seem to be available when you need them, unless you're trying to get, you know, across the country on the day before Thanksgiving, then it gets a little tight, or you know, Christmas Eve, you want to fly somewhere or whatever, that's understandable. But as a general rule,
these flights are terrific and are available. I did check to see if they flew to Providence, Rhode Island, which they don't. So that's one of the reasons I'm driving. But just a shout out to Frontier Airlines for their program, the Go Wild Pass, it's called. And you can also buy these for 6 months, like a fall and winter pass or a winter and spring pass, and you pay $300, and then you get 6 months of travel. So it is a great way to fly, and I'm always posting on Facebook that I just, you know, flew to Houston or Atlanta. I can fly from Washington, D.C. to Atlanta for $16 nonstop. And so I post on Facebook these stories about my latest trip and what it cost and whatever, and it allows me to go around the country to do junk removal jobs and compete with the local guys without having to charge for travel. Another shout out to the Wyndham Hotel chain. I'm a Diamond member of the Wyndham Hotel chain. I'm good friends with the Marriott's, by the way, but my frequent staying miles, so to speak, are with one of their competitors, I guess, the Wyndham chain. Marriott's so big, they probably own Wyndham for all I know. But anyway, I stay for free using points when I travel around the country, which I'll do tonight up in Rhode Island or something. And I fly cheap, and then all you have to do is rent a pickup truck or a box truck when you get there, and those are available all over the country, and many times are really inexpensive. And then all you got to do is find out where's the dump and where's the, you know, the jewelry guy and where's the Goodwill and where's, you know, Salvation Army and et cetera. And it works, and off you go. I did a job a few years ago in Wisconsin, ended up cleaning out a storage unit. In the storage, I asked the lady, this was her, basically her husband's stuff, and he had passed away. I asked her, is there anything in here that you want? She said, no, just get it all cleaned out and have at it. And there were a lot of these clear plastic rectangular-shaped containers or bins, you know, small bins that you put clothes in or whatever. And I spotted one that was in there, and there was a Green Bay Packers, remember, I'm in Wisconsin, there's a Green Bay Packers Aaron Rodgers jersey in there. And a bunch of Christmas ornaments for the Packers and, you know, a bunch of Packer stuff. Well, I've got a son-in-law who he and his dad love the Green Bay Packers. And so I gave him all the Packers stuff. But I found, getting back to some of these comments that I had with Leslie about stuff that you find that's kind of in the jewelry area, I didn't really ask her much about coins, but we found in one of these little bins some small boxes in the bottom, and when you open them up, there are individual coins in there. One of those was a quarter-ounce gold coin. And my next stop after that Wisconsin stop was a job in Chicago, and so I was literally driving in northern Chicago and drove past a coin dealer, and I went into him, and he bought the coins for $650. So the people that hired us get 35% of that. And so that's one of the things that sets us apart, and I think one of the reasons we get calls from around the country and people really like what we do. I want to do a shout-out to one of our newest radio stations that's picked us up, 102.7 FM. It's PNEW up in New York City. We're thrilled to be on their station. We're working on an idea. In fact, I'm going to throw this idea out and just welcome any comments from people. One of the things I thought about doing to celebrate the fact that we are now being carried in the United States' number one media market, which is New York, is to make some vouchers available to our friends in New York City for $102.70. And it would be a pickup truck of junk removal, which in New York at that price is a steal. It's a steal anywhere, but it's particularly a steal up in New York City area. And you can, you know, maybe buy a couple of them, and you get a normal price is $229 to $279 for this. You get it for $102.70 to celebrate 102.7 putting us on their station. And would you like to guess how many of them we might offer? That's right, 102. So I'm thinking about that. I haven't posted that on the website, but if there's anybody, especially the New Yorkers that are listening, and if you like that idea, it's my business. I can do whatever I want. Let me know. Call me at 1-800-JUNK-REFUND and tell me what you think of that idea. It's kind of easy to put a web page together and or a page together and put it up on the website, and whammo, you've got a special available. But that would be kind of fun. And then we go up to New York and we do like 5 or 6 of these in a day kind of a thing. So I'm having some fun with that. Speaking of New York, I'm going to go through there tonight on my way to Rhode Island. And I want to do a shout out to Broadway. I was up there in New Jersey a couple of weeks ago doing a job and finished up on a Friday afternoon. I drove 12 miles east over into Manhattan and went and saw the Broadway play Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. And I loved it. What they do on stage in the area of special effects is just fantastic. And I loved it. I loved the play. And I may very well hit another play tonight as I take a little break on my way to Rhode Island and then maybe hit another one on my way back on Saturday night. So if everything goes well, that's in the back of my mind as a plan. And I'm sure going to have a lot of fun. I may be sitting in a Broadway play about 4 hours from now, but I don't know if I'll make it to New York City in time. All depends on the traffic. Anyway, so some fun stuff happening. I also want to talk about our calendar. The 2025 Declutter Calendar is available. And we're just in the process of listing it on Amazon so that it's available there. These are printed by Vistaprint. And the cool thing about these is they retail for $59.95. It works out to you pay 16 cents a day. And we give you, printed on the calendar, a daily idea of something you can do to help declutter your home and your garage and your office and your life at the same time. It's kind of a holistic approach to having a better life and getting rid of some of your clutter. And all you do is look at the calendar and do what it says each day. Some days it'll tell you, you know, donate 3 pairs of socks from your dresser drawer. And some days it'll say, take a nap and say a prayer. And some days it'll say, you know, thank God for your country or whatever it might be. It kind of bounces around lots of different aspects of your life. If you call the radio show, the Junk Refund Show, at 888-627-6008, again, 888-627-6008, tell our wonderful producer, Don, that you want to get one of these calendars. He'll let me know, and you'll save $10. We can get it for $49.95 if you do it through the radio show. It's also available on our website. You can go to 1-800-JUNK-REFUND.com/calendar/, and it'll be right there, and you can buy it right off the website as well. The cool thing about the calendar, not only does it help you kind of do-it-yourself declutter, which frankly saves you a lot of money. And this is the kind of thing Leslie was talking about. Don't just let the jewelry all pile up and then have your kids deal with it. Same thing with the junk in your home. Don't let it pile up and then the kids call companies like us or some of the other more expensive companies and pay to get all the stuff hauled out. Just chip away at it on a regular basis and you'd be surprised how fast your home can get decluttered. Same for your office, same for, you know, your carport, your garage, your basement, your attic, whatever it might be. I want to do a shout out to Whole Foods. You're familiar with the Whole Foods grocery chain. We today went down just before this show started. We were contacted by the folks at Empire Leasing in Washington, D.C. They own big leasing company and manage and run a lot of the office buildings around the Washington, D.C. area. They called us to go haul away some chairs and some filing cabinets for a company. Because Empire referred us and because we'll make some money on the scrap metal end of it, we gave them a really good price to go and do this. And I went down just before starting the show. I went down and loaded up a pickup truck of metal chairs. And went up and took them and recycled them, got some money for them, and was hustling to get in there, get the cash out of the machine, get back out in the truck before 3 o'clock when the show is supposed to start. So it worked out great. Everything worked fine. And I literally went straight from there to the freeway to head to Rhode Island. I kind of have this attitude of, if there's something I should have brought with me, I'll either get it at the hotel, or I can always hit Costco or Walmart and pick up whatever I might need, and I'll be back in 2 days anyway. So I literally just turned the car north, or the truck north. I'm headed north now, and headed up to Rhode Island for a couple of days to do a job up there. And these are always really fun adventures. I really enjoy meeting the people. I enjoy what I learn along the way. I enjoy seeing the countryside, and I enjoy making new friends in states all across the United States doing this. So anyway, it just works out to be an awful lot of fun. You're welcome to call the show. I don't really mention this each week. I should do this more. If you have questions about junk removal, or a situation that you have going on and you want some advice, you can always call the show, 888-627-6008, and get on the phone with us, and we'd be happy to put you on the show and answer questions about junk removal and stuff that might help declutter your life. So remember the calendar. If you travel a lot, check out Frontier Airlines with their Go Wild Pass, and don't be afraid to go after your dreams. I want to do a little comment. A friend of mine from high school, a kid who is a year older than me, that is a really bright guy. We were in a play together back in high school. His name's Rogan Taylor, and I'm doing a shout out to Rogan because Rogan goes in on Facebook once a year and does a Facebook post, and it usually happens about the 1st of January or so. And what he does is he lists the books that he read the prior year. And they are all across the board of different topics and authors and, you know, some spiritual, some travel, some historic, you know, some fiction, some nonfiction, whatever, just stuff that he's interested in. The first year, and this was maybe 8 or 9 years ago or something, the first time I saw this, his list had about 32 books on there. And I went, dang, that's 31 more than I read last year, you know? And I was really impressed by that. I thought, this is a guy who is in his, you know, mid to upper 60s now, who's just really gaining a lot of knowledge. I think last year when he did this post, it was 52 books that he read last year, one a week, folks. And so because I'm on the road a lot, I'm having some fun with a company called Wonder Books in Gaithersburg, Maryland. When we go in and clean out somebody's home, frequently there will be bookshelves with a bunch of books on there. We don't take those and throw them in the dump. We take them and sell them to a bookstore in Gaithersburg called Wonder Books. They buy the books from us, and you can go in with a regular box full of books, for example. And you might get $2 to $5 cash for that, or you can get 15 or 20 in store credit. Well, I always take the store credit because it gives me three to four times the value, and then I use that store credit to go back in and buy audiobooks. And then as I'm driving around in my trucks or my SUV, I've got an audiobook in each vehicle that I'm listening to, and it's just fascinating stuff. And that is my effort to try to read like Rogan Taylor reads regularly, and it's amazing, you know, what you learn. And I'm just having fun with this concept of listening to audiobooks while I'm doing something else and what I'm learning in the process. I'm really having a lot of fun with it. I'm listening to one right now. It's about a 10-CD set. And it's some interviews with Jacqueline Kennedy in early 1964, about 6 months after John F. Kennedy was assassinated. And it's fascinating stuff to learn and to listen to her. What a smart lady, to listen to her and what she's talking about and her perspective on things. So shout out to the idea of read and you won't be disappointed. Thanks to Rogan Taylor for his example. Thanks to folks for listening. I'm cruising now at about 65 miles an hour.
up to Rhode Island to do a job tomorrow and the next day and next week on the Junk Refund Show. We're trying to get Taylor Swift, by the way, next week. And I will tell you more about that. It's my mother's 94th birthday on December 13th. It's Taylor Swift's 35th birthday on the same day. We're trying to get Taylor on our show to sing happy birthday to my mom. Wish us luck. Anyway, you've been listening to the show. I'm headed to Rhode Island. Thanks for listening, and God bless all of you. Make your life what you want it to be. Hopefully it's a fun adventure like we're having. And just listen to the show each week to help you get the junk out of your home and also out of your life. Thanks again to Don, his brother Doug at bbsradio.com. We appreciate all the great work that they do. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.